And that means that he died. And it means that he died and stayed dead. All right? It meant that he died and continued being dead. In other words, are you hearing me well enough?
Yes. No?
All right. I'll get it down there a little further. All right? Okay. And then it goes on down in verse number 8. It says, and so all the days of Zeph, by the way, the word Zeph means substitute, were 912 years that he died and stayed dead. Then we go all the way down to verse number 11. And all the days of Enoch were 905 years, and he died and stayed dead. Verse number 14. And all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. Now these are long lives, aren't they? These are real 900 years. These people really lived 900 years plus. Then we go down to verse number 17. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died and stayed dead. And so all the days of Jared in verse 20 were 962 years, and he died and stayed dead. Verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now here we have a type of the rapture in the Old Testament. Verse number 27, we have the oldest man recorded in history. And his name was kind of weird. Now, Enoch named him. Enoch means teacher, but Methuselah, how many of you know what his name means? When he is dead, he shall come fast. Enoch named him, and he said, when he dies, judgment is coming. The year that he dies, judgment is coming. When he's dead, he shall come fast. It means son of the dark. And so all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died and stayed dead. Now let's go to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job, the 14th chapter. Verse 1 says, a man is born of woman, is short-lived and full of turmoil. Now, this is the oldest book in the Bible. Did you know that? The book of Job was the oldest book in the Bible. They don't know exactly when he lived. He could have lived in the time before Abraham. Some people say he lived not too far after Noah, that he knew Noah, etc., etc. Okay? He said, like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. And verse number 13, Job's still talking here. Oh, that thou would hide me in Sheol. Sheol. Sheol is the place of departed spirits. Literally, Sheol comes from the second. Well, it's the root of the word Saul. How many of you have heard Saul? The name Saul means one asked for. Sheol means the place asked about. In the New Testament now, the same equivalent in Greek is Hades. Hades and Sheol are the same place. Now, look at your little chart for just a moment. You see your chart? Now, we started out in the book of Genesis way back after Adam sinned. Okay? And we were talking about a period of time there before the flood. And all these people lived. And they all died and stayed dead. What happened to them after they died? Where did they go? What happened to them? The Bible says, and we're going to go to Luke, the 16th chapter now. Luke chapter 16. The Bible says, before Jesus Christ came to this earth, the oldest verse in the Bible is what verse in the Bible? Do you know? Who knows what the oldest verse in the Bible is in time?
John
1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was for God, and the Word was God. In Greek it says, in beginning, literally singular beginning, the book of Genesis starts off with Barashit Bara. Barashit means in eternities. One of the eternities. One of the beginnings. God created the heavens and the earth. But now we go to John 1:1, and John 1:1 is the oldest period of time in the history of anything in the Bible. And it says, in beginning. It says in arche in Greek, and that means the absolute, when nothing else existed but God. It says, in beginning, kept on being, it says was, but was isn't really a good translation. It means it's third person singular, perfect indicative active. That's what it is in Greek. It's a. But it says, in beginning, he kept on being forever. And then it says, ho logos, the word. Now the word word there is a Hebrew. It is a word that is a figure of speech for something else. In the Old Testament, Exodus 20, verse 7, it says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's what? Name and thing. After Israel received that law, they were afraid to speak the name of God ever again. So every time they came to the name Jehovah, which we don't know how to say, they would say, Halabar, Halabar. And Halabar in Hebrew is Hologos in Greek, the word. So now look at that as it is in John 1:1. In the beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah was an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. John 1:14 says, Kylo starts again at the end of the word, the Jehovah flesh, he became and dwelt among us. Now, until Jesus really was a promised Messiah in Genesis 3:15, and so Jesus became flesh, lived in a perfect life, in life, and died on the cross of Calvary, and went down into Sheol and Hades, and was raised, nobody got to go to heaven yet. And so we're going to see what happened before Jesus died. Okay? Where people went and what happens to them now. So, at the cross of Calvary, things changed. See that? The cross of Calvary. Things changed. Now let's go to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke, the 16th chapter. And I want you to hold your place there and go to the second chapter of Acts. Acts, that's right after John, Acts 2. Now, Peter is speaking here and he's preaching at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And he's talking about David's prophecy in verse number 25. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou art abandon my soul in Hades. It's talking about Hades. This is Sheol, the Old Testament. Hades is the New Testament. Nor will allow thy Holy One, or literally thy Merciful One, to undergo decay. That's talking about Jesus being in the grave. Jesus literally died on the cross of Calvary, and he was put in a grave. And it was Joseph of Arimathea's grave, as we know. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou wilt make me full of gladness in thy presence. He said, brethren, I am confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And I've been to David's tomb in Jerusalem, that's what they call his tomb anyway. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seek at one of his descendants upon his throne. Verse number 31, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. Jesus, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, I will lay down my life, and I will take it up again. He laid down his life. They crucified him on the cross of Calvary, but he called the moment that he would die. He said, this moment, it is finished. And then he said, I will release my spirit. And his spirit and soul went into Hades, the place of departed spirits. Now let's go look in the Bible In Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 19. Now, this is not a parable. I know a lot of Bible says a parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This is not a parable. This is a real historical event. This is what really happened. We have a man by the name of Lazarus, and we have a man in the original languages in some of the manuscripts, it calls him Nineveh or Dives. So we've heard of Dives and Lazarus, you know, the story. This is a historical event of those two individuals. Now there was a certain rich man who habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. This guy was rich. Now, being rich is not what caused him to be evil. But it says in the Bible so many times that riches will keep a man away from God. Riches keep a man away from God. You find a lot of rich people in the Bible getting saved. You know what they did a long time when they got saved? They started throwing money at the Lord. We have a couple of them in the book of Acts that didn't. They were church members, Ananias and Sapphira. Remember what happened? And they started lying to the church and lying to the Holy Spirit of God, and God struck them dead. And it was over what? Riches. Riches and wealth. And a certain poor man. This word poor there is pokos in the Greek language, and it means to be absolute destitute. It means unable to support yourself at all. He was just a person that was unable to walk, unable to support himself with a job of any sort. People had to carry him, and he was a beggar. And one of the places people would carry him was to the gate of this rich man called Dives of Nineveh. His name was Lazarus. By the way, you know what Lazarus means? It came from Eliezer. It's a short form of Eliezer. Eliezer means God helps. The word Lazarus means helpless. His name means helpless. Okay? He was laid at his gate. Now, he was laid there. He couldn't get himself there. Somebody had to take him there. And what did he do at the gate of this rich man? He was covered with sores. Probably, maybe, leprosy. Maybe staph infection. And he was longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. The dogs had compassion on him. And by the way, there is a lot of antibiotics in dog saliva. Did you know that? Dogs lick themselves, and that's like medicine when they lick themselves. Now, he's wanting to be fed with the flea. That's what it's called in Greek, the flea. What the dog, when the rich man was sitting at their, they actually they were laying up the table. They didn't sit like you're sitting at a table. They had a short coffee table there, and they had pallets or couches or cushions, and they would lay up there to the table and they would eat with their right hand. And they would reach out on the table, and if they got something that they didn't like, they got a piece of meat that didn't look good or something, they threw it over their shoulder and it landed out there on the ground. The servants would go along and they'd pick up all these flings, all of this throwaways, and they'd take it out and throw it over the fence, over the gate, and the dogs would go after it. That's why the dogs were there. They were going to go after these fleas too. Rick, Lazarus is out there living like a dog. Now, we know one thing about Lazarus. Lazarus knew the Lord. He may have been an outcast of his local synagogue or whatever, but he loved the Lord and he knew the Lord. Verse number 22. Now it came about that the poor man died. Again, we emotes. He died and stayed that way. They used to carry polished pieces of metal or mirrors when a person died because they didn't have, and this was ancient time, and they would put it in front of a man's mouth and they would see if there was breath coming out of it. And a lot of times people would faint or something and they'd just leave them there, and they would do this for 3 days to make sure that he was dead and stayed that way. That's what it means, okay? And they would take that. You hear about, how many of you ever heard about people being buried and their beard grew and their fingernails kept growing? Mm-hmm. They weren't dead people. They were buried alive. Your hair doesn't grow and your fingernails don't grow. They buried live people. So So that's why they kept hanging around for 3 days, and they kept up the mirror to see if there was any breath, to make sure he really stayed dead. Well, Lazarus was dead. They put him in a tomb somewhere or another. But his body died. It wasn't like the body went to sleep. But his spirit and his soul did not die. Now, we don't understand all about this. Man is triune. If you wanted to go to the Bible and teach the Trinity of man, go to Genesis 1:26. Not 1 John 5 and 7, Genesis 1:26. God made man, it says in the beginning, right in the first verse, verse 26, God made man in his shadow casting likeness. Shadow casting, that's called. People, when they would walk down the road a long time ago, they said your spirit was following them. If you were going into the sun, you saw your spirit or your shadow on the ground. And that's what they call your spirit being. And then it says he made him in his blood flowing likeness. Now his spiritual image and his blood flowing likeness. And then he made him in his sovereignty, which is the type of the Father. Sovereignty. Now Lazarus, his spirit and his soul went someplace else besides where his body was. His body was shot, wore out. Disease. They put him in the grave someplace. Maybe a shallow grave. We'll tell him what. He was a poor man, poor and beggar. Maybe they took him out, put a few rocks and dust on top of him, whatever happened. That came about, the poor man died, and he was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. Angels. Now, angels have a lot to do with mankind. This is not superstition. There's a lot of superstition out there in the world. A lot of people say when you die, you become an angel. Have you ever heard that? Getting your angel wings and all that kind of stuff. People are people, and angels are angels. Okay? You don't become an angel when you die. Okay? Lazarus didn't become an angel. Okay? Now, in the Islamic world, how many of you heard a rooster crow? According to Muhammad, every time a rooster crows, he saw an angel. How many of you have heard of a burrow brain or a mule brain? Every time a burrow brain, he sees the devil. Okay? And Muhammad had a real big good prescription for if you have bad dreams when you get more in the morning, you the devil's been in your sinuses all night long. Satan, actually, you call him Satan. And you go out in the morning, the first thing you do is you get a handful of water and you snuff it up your nose 2 or 3 times, and then you blow your nose 3 times to get the devil out of there. Now, we're not talking about foolishness, we're talking about reality here. This is mythology. Okay? I mean, the Bible and mythology is 2 different things. We got real souls here. This is the souls. Okay? Now, the poor man was carried by angels. The Bible says a lot about angels. Medic in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, and the angelos, which we get a word angel from in the New Testament. Angel is a messenger. But they do things. How many ever heard the Ark of the Covenant? Have you ever heard of the Ark of the Covenant? Okay. The Ark of the Covenant had 2 angels, one on each side of the mercy seat. Now, they were cherubim. That's an order of angels. They're cherubim, seraphim, Hierarchy, all of these, you know, different orders of angels. Okay? These angels, the cherubim, had wings. And they're standing there with the wings touching over the mercy seat. Now, there's 2 of them there. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the law of Moses, it says, by 2 or 3 witnesses, let everything be established, doesn't it? Jesus said that. The Old Testament said that. In the law, that's what they always said. In the courts, you have to have witnesses. Eyewitnesses. Okay? Now, when you're born, when you're conceived, actually, when you are conceived in your mother's womb, I believe there's angels that testify that you have become. When you're born again, when you're saved, I believe that there's angels to testify that you were saved. And you will meet them. The Ark of the Covenant, once a year, they would go up to Yom Kippur and they would sprinkle blood there at the mercy seat. And the angels were witnesses of the atonement, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Okay? Now, when you're saved, many theologians believe there are 2 angels to witness that. And also, when you die, If you're a child of God, two angels, maybe the same angels that witnessed your salvation and witnessed your conception, come to get you. And where did they take you? Let's find out. He was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now this is, Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Alright? Now Abraham's bosom was a place in Hades, in Sheol. Just conceive for a moment, a round place like this, a great big round place. One side is paradise and the other side is torment. And then there's a great gulf in between. Abraham's bosom is called the place of pleasures or paradise. The word paradise comes all the way from the Persian language, comes into the Hebrew language, comes into the Greek language as paradiso, and into the English language as paradiso, or paradise. Now what does paradise mean? It means a guarded pleasure park. A guarded pleasure park. So, we have two places here. We have one guarded place that's a place of torment, and we have one guarded place that's a guarded place of paradise. A place of wonder and enjoyment. Now, these people weren't in heaven. This wasn't heaven yet. They couldn't go to heaven yet. Why? Because the price of our salvation hadn't been paid yet. Jesus hadn't died on the cross, hadn't gone down into this place. Now this is before Jesus died on the cross and before he ascended. When he ascended into heaven, he took all those that were in this Abraham's bosom up to paradise in heaven itself, what we call the third heaven. He was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now the rich man died. We have died and he's dying. And he's buried. It talks about him being buried. But where his body was buried. Now I bet he had a real good fancy mausoleum tomb, didn't he? Because he was rich. But where did his spirit and soul go? Let's look. The Bible says that. And in Hades now, he lifted up his eyes. Now, his eyes were in his body, weren't they? But somehow or another, even though we lay our bodies down, our souls and spirits have the ability to see, the ability to feel, the ability to remember, and all of this, okay? Now, his body is not there, but he can see. He can visualize something. His soul can see. His soul can smell. His soul can hear. His soul can taste. Lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham far away. Now it tells us here that the people in hell are... Now this isn't purgatory, by the way. That's an invention of the Catholic Church, okay? But this place is a temporary place of holding for those that are disobedient and that will not believe. But they have sensations of all of the things that we're going to read about deities. He's in being in torments and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom or in this area called paradise. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham. Now, by the way, there won't be one atheist in hell. Did you know that? Not one atheist is in hell. They may be atheists now, they may be agnostic now, but one second after they die, they are believers. One second after this man died, he's a believer. Okay, he's no longer whatever he was. Now he's a believer. And he knew who Abraham was. Now he surrenders himself. Oh, I'm sorry. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. This is what we call beyond the place of no return. No more chances. Send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now he feels like he's got a tongue still, doesn't he? He feels like he's got a mouth, he's got thirst, he's hungry. For I am in agonies. It's all plural. I am in agonies in this flame. Now, in verse number 25, we have Abraham talking. By the way, Abraham's dead and kept on being dead. But they're all in Sheol, and all in Hades. And they're all communicating. Now this guy that's lost, he can look all the way over there into hell. Or in heaven. And Abraham hears him screaming. But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, likewise Lazarus' bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you will keep on being in agony. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great separation, fix, in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none be able to cross over from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send a love letter to my family." This is the love letter from heaven. I tell you, 1 second after you die, and a love letter from hell. Here's the love letter right now. Now, when lost people, when they go to hell, if they're atheists and they're agnostics, they're not agnostics. There's not one agnostic, one atheist in hell. None. When they left this world, they're back in reality, a real reality of what hell is and what heaven is. This man knows this. "That I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. Send Lazarus to my father's house. Send someone to my father's house." Why does he want to go to his father's house? Because he has people there that he loves. If you have a family member that died, what the hell? Maybe they're wishing today that their family member that were atheists, agnostics, unbelievers would not come to this place. This love letter from heaven. "For I have five brothers." You know what the word brother means? It means from the same womb. "That I have five full brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear them." They have Moses and they have the prophets. Now, when Jesus came to the world, the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, promised us a Savior. He's going to be the seed of the woman. When Jesus came to the world, for 30 years he lived a normal life. The 30th year, and by the way, a priest could not minister until he was 30 years old, by the way. It was a long time. When Joseph was in Egypt, when did he become the ruler of Egypt? When he was 30 years old. There's a lot of types of Christ in the Bible. Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He was a type of Christ also. Many things in the Old Testament is a type of Christ. When Jesus came to this earth, when he became 30 years old, he began to do all kinds of miracles. And why did he do the miracles? To prove that he was God's Son, that he was really Jehovah in the flesh. And the Gospel of John is filled with it. Colossians is filled with it. Ephesians is filled with it. The book of Revelation is filled with it. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is filled with it. Verse number 30. They have the prophets. Now the prophets were supposed to lead them to Christ. The Jews that Jesus was talking to, most of them did not repent and most of them would not believe. They would not hear, they would not see. Their hearts were hardened. They had a religion and they were happy with it. "I'm happy with my religion, don't bother." But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes back from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." The Jewish ruling elite, how many people did Jesus raise from the dead that we know about, recorded in the Bible? at least three, by two or three witnesses, let everybody make this out. There's at least three people that are raised from the dead. One of them was named was Lazarus, wasn't it? He raised Lazarus from the dead, and what did the Jews want to do to Lazarus? What they wanted to do to him? Kill him. They wanted to get him out of conviction. Because this is one of Jesus' best friends forever. You know, he grew up with them. These people were part of his family. They were not family members, literally, but they were childhood friends all the way. They go to Jerusalem every year, and evidently Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus would all hang around with each other. They took care of him when he was out on the road. They fed him. They housed him in their home in Bethany. Lazarus, when he was raised from the dead, they wanted to kill him because they wanted the truth. They didn't want to see the truth. But if one was raised from the dead, they would believe. Let us go over there to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. You know, I had that in my Bible. Or it must be 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, because there's no 4th chapter in 2 Thessalonians. All right. Couldn't read them all right. Those who died in Christ. But we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about those who fall asleep. Their body falls asleep, don't they? That you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you don't have a hope. There is a hope. Not now and not any time in the eternity's future. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Now today, after the cross of Calvary, when you 1 second after you die, you know what happens? What happens? We are escorted by at least two angels into the beatific vision or into heaven itself. And then when the Lord comes back to raise the dead in the resurrection and the rapture, what we call the rapture, he brings those with him. Those that have fallen asleep. And who is raised first in that resurrection? Those that are dead. He's raised by holy. And I think he does that before the living are translated, so the living will be able to see the glory of the resurrection. Now he's bringing their souls and spirits back, and he's reuniting those souls and spirits with their dead bodies, which are now immortal. Forever. From that time on. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede or go before those who are fallen asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with him. And then it says in verse number 18, comfort one another with these words. Today, this little message that I gave to you is a warning, and is a word of comfort too. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, Paul telling to the church of Corinth there, I'm going to explain to you the gospel, which I preached to you when you first came. That what? That Christ came according to the Scriptures. That he died according to the Scripture. That he was buried according to the Scriptures. And that he was raised according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. Nothing else. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel I share with you today. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins and call upon him to save your soul. And guess what? He will do it. He promised you with it. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And eternal life is eternal life, isn't it? Jesus told those Pharisees around him, he said, all of those that believe in me will never die. And they said, look, you're greater than Abraham our father, and all the prophets, they are all dead. And Jesus said, Abraham was delighted to see my day. You know, Abraham, when Jesus Christ was born into this world, Abraham was shouting. Down in Abraham's bosom, down in paradise, he said, yay! Now I get to leave this place and go right into heaven. He's born now. And then when he died on the cross of Calvary, and when he came down there and he greeted Abraham in Abraham's bosom, Abraham was delighted to see his day. And then he got to be escorted into the third heaven when he rose. You will all die if the Lord doesn't come back. We will. That's something that everybody from Adam on. Adam lived how many years? 930 years. How long did Methuselah live? 969 years. But then it says, we him all. He died. He's taken. But you don't die. You don't die. When your body quits breathing, when your heart quits beating, you don't die. You go one or two places. Your soul and your spirit go one of these two places. And that's that. This is a message to you. To listen to God's word. Believe God's word. Ephesians 2:8 says, literally from Greek, it says, for in grace you are having been saved through faith. And the faith is not out of you either. The faith to believe doesn't come from you. That's coming from the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for letting me come out here again and preach to you. This is the Word of God. I really enjoy being with you. Every time I'm out here, you just keep calling. And I'll just keep coming back. Anytime you want, you can come and preach for me. And brother, I'm going to turn it back to you.